Hello and welcome to this late night South Carolina results edition of the 538 Politics podcast. I'm Galen Druk. Joe Biden won big tonight. The networks called it in his favor as soon as the polls closed. And since it's Saturday night and we want to get on with our super fun weekend plans, we are recording this before all of the results are in, but we have a pretty good picture both from the exit polls and from about 50% of the precincts reporting. So we're going to talk about them. And at this moment, so with it looks like more precincts are coming in as we're recording, but it's 56% of precincts recording. Biden has 50% of the vote. Sanders has 19%. Steyer, 12%. Buttigieg, 8%. Warren, 7%. And then it goes down from there. Klobuchar, 3%. So
Tulsi?
Ooh.
Tulsi erasure.
Tulsi Gabbard, you want to know what she has right now? It's
Gabbard erasure.
It's 1.1%. That's what Tulsi has. And here with me to discuss those results are Editor-in-Chief Nate Silver. How's it going, Nate?
Going well. Thank you to South Carolina for somewhat competently counting its vote. Or very competently, as far as we're aware.
Ooh, shady. Also here with us is Managing Editor Micah Cohen. How are you?
I'm good. Recording remotely, employing a Nate Silver podcast remote hack with the iPhone recording wedged into my earphones. I never knew Nate was such a podcast pro.
Oh, yeah. I'm an effing pro now. Professional podcaster.
We'll have to share a picture so people know what it looks like when record podcasts remotely.
You don't have to. It's okay.
And Claire is not here with us this evening. She'll be back with us on Monday. Starting off, Nate, I just laid out what the race looks like based on the majority of the precincts reporting. But looking at the exit polls, how much do we think that's going to change once all of the results are in? Can you paint us as good of a picture as you can about what the results from tonight will ultimately be?
So, I mean, the picture is this is a resounding win for Joe Biden. It's the kind of win that you might have expected before Iowa when he was the national frontrunner. It looks like he had a very large margin over Sanders among African-American voters. It looks like he slightly beat Sanders among white voters. And that results in a win that's going to probably come in the range of 28, 30, 31 points when all votes are counted. So, you know, I mean, there's not that much to parse here, really. I mean, it's important to keep in mind that, like, there's a lot of regionalism in primaries. And, like, Biden's going to win black voters by a much, much wider margin tonight than he did in Nevada, for example, because African-American voters, turns out, like white people, and Hispanic people are not all the same. And in South Carolina, they're more moderate or conservative. They tend to be a little bit older, and they tend to be pretty loyal to Joe Biden, who took South Carolina seriously instead of kind of, you know, the somewhat half-assed way he kind of approached in the other early states. So it's kind of close to the best-case scenario for Biden, really.
Micah, how much does this change the primary race overall?
I think it's a relatively big deal, actually. If Biden ends up winning by something on the order of the magnitude of where he is now, which is to say just crushing it, perhaps finishing with, you know, around half the vote in South Carolina, our model, Nate wrote about this going into tonight, but our model shows Biden jumping, not overtaking Sanders, but we'd be in for, I think, a kind of drawn out primary between Sanders and Biden. You know, conversely, if Biden had still won South Carolina tonight, but just squeaked out a victory, our model would have expected, and we'll see what it actually says later tonight, tomorrow, but our model would have expected Sanders to rack up far more delegates on Super Tuesday.
Yeah, so we should say, and we kind of weren't emphasizing it that much on the site, right? But our model actually had a big shift occurring in the previous two or three or four days, anticipating a Biden win, maybe a large Biden win in South Carolina. This looks like it'll be a little bit bigger even than the model expected.
Wait, so just to clarify, Nate, the model had already started pricing in what looked to be a Biden win based on the polls there.
Right.
So after updating the model, it won't necessarily shift a whole bunch because the model kind of already saw this happening?
Basically. I mean, if he wins by 29 points, which is where the upshot needle has it right now, then, you know, we had it at 19%, and he also kind of fades the 5% chance that he didn't win, right? So he may, I mean, I'm not sure, right? the preliminary kind of scenarios we run beforehand are good proxies, but not exactly the same. So probably get a little bit of a bounce. There's also other stuff, like he got some endorsements tonight, which actually isn't weighted very heavily in the model, but helps a little bit.
He got Tim Kaine and expects Terry McAuliffe, I think.
Terry McAuliffe, another Bobby Scott from Virginia, and he may get more by the time we're done, by the time we update the model. And so, look, I mean, I'll give you my intuition here, and the model may or may not agree with it. I think it's a pretty darn close race between Sanders and Biden. That may be wrong, right? But, like, this is a big shift in the race. Biden, his lead in South Carolina was down to about 4 points in our average, and based on not just our average, but, like, on the actual polls, as of 2 weeks ago, and he's going to win by 29 points or something today. I mean, that there are a lot of interpretations, but not very many of them are entirely comforting for Sanders.
Yeah, Micah, do you agree with Nate that it's a two-person race now?
I mean, it seems that way. I'm, like, sort of always hesitant to make such declarative statements, but certainly you look at, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, definitely Tom Steyer, you know, Pete Buttigieg, and they just haven't, you know, once the race for Buttigieg, especially once the race moved out of those first two really white contests, you know, they haven't been able to do much really. So it feels like a Biden Sanders race. Could we get a couple of surprising results on Super Tuesday? Sure. But yeah, you know, that's what it's shaping up as, certainly.
As we're recording this, we are getting reports that Steyer will drop out. I think one thing to think about is whether candidates who frankly have a higher profile and more delegate potential than Steyer drop out either between now and Super Tuesday, seems unlikely, or after Super Tuesday. But that's what's a little scary for Sanders, right? Is like, I think you're being a little bit too polite to the other candidates who are not named Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden.
Yeah.
There are cases where, in fact, our model thinks these cases are decently likely. There are cases where the rest of the field combined does okay on Super Tuesday. You know, Elizabeth Warren's above 15% in some states, and Buttigieg in others, and Bloomberg maybe in several, quite a few. And they kind of collectively win 20% of the delegates on Super Tuesday, which is about 8% of the total, right? And then you kind of have this weird thing where you, like, have, you know, potentially a Biden versus Bernie confrontation, but you have 8% of the delegates or 10% of the delegates off the table, right? And that could lead, like, to, like, a no-majority scenario. And, like, are there worlds in which we kind of head towards some inevitable no-majority scenario, and therefore Warren or Buttigieg or whoever else kind of makes arguments based on compromise or momentum or, I mean, sure, right? There are scenarios where no-majority is what happens, right? It's pretty likely according to our model.
Do you expect that likelihood to go up tomorrow once the model has priced in Biden's win in South Carolina?
I mean, the tricky thing is actually Bloomberg, right? Because a candidate who we have in delegates in third place, let me look at these numbers that are all pre-Iowa. So it has Bloomberg getting 573 delegates now. That's not on Super Tuesday, it's throughout the race, right? So if he kind of is harmed by a Biden bounce, if there is a Biden bounce, and falls from kind of 15 or 16% in these states, like 12 or 13%, then all of a sudden he doesn't get very many delegates at all, and you could have Sanders and Biden getting more of the lion's share. I don't know if Warren and Buttigieg would be affected by that as much. Warren in particular is less of a direct competitor for Biden. Warren could even say, hey, look, maybe if Bernie falls a little bit, because there are two things here, right? The thing about the bounce is, like, there's Biden doing well, and then there are kind of doubts that this would raise about Sanders. And those can both have effects, and if there are doubts about Sanders, then Warren could be the beneficiary of that. But I don't know. I mean, I'll be curious when we turn the model back on what it says. You know, how shocking would it be if we wake up on Monday at 5 a.m. and there's some headline on Politico that Bloomberg is dropping out? I mean,
not that
I'd be surprised. I would not bet that at even money.
But it wouldn't
be some odds for that, right? But it wouldn't be that shocking.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded pretty clear tonight that Bloomberg's campaign manager was saying he's staying in the race through Super Tuesday. But, you know, well, of course, people can walk back those things.
Yeah, they're going to say that until they make a decision. But it's just like, look, Bloomberg's support, just by its nature, because he didn't compete in the first few contests, always felt, and I think there was good reason to believe it was, you know, less solid than other candidate support, right? It has always felt more ephemeral because what was it based on? It was based on media coverage, which can go away or change, the tone can change, right? And it was based on paid media ads in these states where he largely had the field to himself, and then he's not gonna anymore, right? These other candidates have been and will continue to ramp up their advertisements in these states. So, like, I would not be at all shocked by, I wouldn't be shocked by him dropping out, but even, you know, that would be a little bit of a surprise. But more than that, I wouldn't be surprised if polls show Bloomberg dropping in the wake of this Biden win in South Carolina. And I really wouldn't be surprised, because there just isn't that much time between now and Super Tuesday, if Bloomberg just underperforms his polls in a bunch of states on Super Tuesday.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about what happened, why Biden ended up doing as well as he did. But first, today's podcast is brought to you by Upstart. Getting into debt is easy, but getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help pay off high-interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is top-ranked in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/politics to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking rate only takes a few minutes. Again, that's upstart.com/politics. We're back, and Nate, you mentioned earlier that just a couple weeks ago, Sanders was gaining on Biden in South Carolina to the point where he was only a few points away from him in the polls there. What happened over the past 2 weeks that changed the trajectory of this race in South Carolina so much?
I think this is super interesting because I'm not sure there's a way to know for sure. But as Nate was saying, okay, Biden is doing, you know, he finishes terribly in Iowa and New Hampshire. He drops a bunch in national polls. He drops a bunch in South Carolina polls. And then he finishes a distant second in Nevada, but a clear second. In other words, there's a big gap between him and Sanders, who was in first, and a meaningful gap, not quite as big, between Biden and third place, right? In the wake of Nevada, Biden starts surging, right, in South Carolina. And that starts to happen at least before the debate, the South Carolina debate, and before the Clyburn endorsement, right? So why, right?
No, I think you're underestimating how much of it was after the debate and the Clyburn endorsement. One reason why 538 had Biden plus 19 in our final poll average, which is still going to be too low, but RCP is going to have it like Biden plus 11 or 12 or something, right, is because our model said, okay, there was a debate, therefore there's a big kind of gap in political time, and Biden is doing much better in these polls post-debate, which also coincided with the Clyburn endorsement. And so he kind of went from like plus 10 to like plus 19, our average, to plus 29 on election day, right? So it is pretty last minute.
Sure. That all makes sense to me. And I agree, there was a lot of movement in South Carolina polls after the debate and during and after the Clyburn announcement. But there was also a lot of movement before, between Nevada and the debate, which I think speaks to maybe there wasn't one cause of the Biden surge in South Carolina. Like, I think part of it was him finishing a clear second to Sanders in Nevada. Maybe a lot of voters said, okay, Biden is the alternative. Additionally, you know, maybe there were local factors happening in South Carolina that helped. My point is just that, like, I don't think it's as simple as he had a good debate, Clyburn endorsement. I think there's more going on here in terms of how voters reacted to Nevada.
Well, also, he has this result in Iowa, and it's a poor result in Iowa. But Iowa's a caucus state. You know, Biden had no ground game there, really. But then, as a result of expectations, this is often what happens, right? He kind of gets totally shit on by the media, fairly or not, for a week or two, right? And then in New Hampshire, you have, it seems like, a lot of tactical voting away from Biden toward people who seem more viable as anti-Bernie choices, namely Buttigieg and Klobuchar. I mean, that would be what would scare me if I were Bernie, right? I'd be like, maybe I do kind of have, like, a little bit of a C word.
No, you can't say C word.
Ceiling.
Just say ceiling. C word, I mean, is something say, like, else.
Bernie didn't finish that far. So he peaked at 23% in our polling average, right? He's going to get 20% of the vote tonight. So he didn't do that far below. The point is, like, he peaked at 23%. Maybe it's what he gets in a state like South Carolina.
So is this a story in large part about Steyer falling off and Steyer's support going to Biden then?
Steyer fell from a peak of 17 to, like, 12 tonight.
Bloomberg fell. I mean, in national polls, Sanders fell.
Bloomberg was actually in some South Carolina polls, bizarrely, which may have suppressed Biden's numbers. You know, Buttigieg fell a little bit, and Biden picked up a lot of undecided voters. One thing, I don't know the reason why, to be honest. Maybe someone will write in and tell us. There seems to be a tendency from African-American voters to be more reluctant than white voters to decide, to tell a pollster who they've decided on. And they'll decide pretty late, or they'll decide in the ballot booth, at least in terms of them disclosing the choice, especially in the South, to pollsters. So therefore, if you, like, are the candidate who performs well among African-American voters, we have a pattern now in the past three cycles where those candidates tend to beat their polls on election day and or surge at the end. This is the third straight race now where the candidate Obama in 08, Clinton in 16, Biden in 20, will do quite a bit better than their final polls in the actual South Carolina vote count. So that's noteworthy also. But yeah, it's kind of a combination of things, but, like, maybe the story is that, like, that Biden isn't that bad a candidate. You know what I mean? And that he doesn't have as high a floor as he might, because he has, like, kind of not a lot of money to spend, and he has, like, no real ground game. He has, like, not that much support from certain types of establishment Democrats, but he has some bottom. And that bottom in Nevada was, like, whatever it was, 17 or 18% of the first instance vote, 22% of delegates or whatever it was, right? And you find that bottom, and in South Carolina, the bottom is maybe 25 or 27%, and all of a sudden, you get actual momentum again on your side, because you're, like, leading these polls, and, like, you get endorsements.
Yeah, so thinking about Tuesday, and also about the black vote, which you just mentioned, South Carolina's electorate, Democratic electorate, is 55 to 60% African American. Tonight, I think the exit polls said 55%. In the past, it's been over 60%. There are only four other states in the nation where the Democratic electorate is majority African American. Does this mean that Biden can only do really well in states that have large African American populations? And does that mean he's going to struggle going on from here as the states become more diverse, just in the sense of, you know, a larger percentage of the electorate being white or Hispanic, et cetera? I mean, should we take this as a good indicator of how he can do going forward?
I think it's both. I mean, certainly South Carolina is just a good state for Biden. You know, Bernie, for example, did better among black voters in Nevada than he's going to end up doing in South Carolina, right? So, you know, we were talking about this on the live blog. Perry has written about this, but and Nate mentioned it earlier, but, you know, black voters in different regions of the country vote differently, just like all other voters. But also, like, look, Biden is going to beat Bernie among white voters in South Carolina too, right? So it's not just that this was a good state for Biden. I think we're also seeing strategic voting, momentum, call it whatever you want, going in Biden's favor. It does feel like I am worried just in this moment that we're overreacting to this one state we always knew was going to be good for Biden. And it just so happens that because, you know, polls showed him doing really, really well there forever. Then he dropped, then he surged back up. So we're sort of reacting as if this is a big thing. And I wonder a little bit if polls had just showed him doing this well the whole time, maybe
He got the result that polls projected 3 months ago. 3 months ago, Biden was the front runner, right?
No, fair enough. Yeah. But I guess my point is just, no, fair enough, Nate. And look, One consequence of today, maybe the most likely consequence, probably the most likely consequence, is this: the South Biden wins South Carolina big. The race narrows to Biden versus Sanders. It's a knock 'em out, drag 'em out fight. You know, it maybe it's not 50-50, but it's somewhere close to that, right? Could it also be that we look back at South Carolina as Biden's high watermark and it's something of a blip? I have a hard time imagining, because Super Tuesday is only 3 days away, like how that would happen. Like, why would Biden underperform? Why would Biden perform differently in the South on Tuesday than he did in South Carolina tonight?
Well, so, I mean, I think Biden's going to win Alabama.
Yeah.
I think he looks pretty good in North Carolina. I think he looks decently good in Virginia. I'm less sure about these whiter southern states, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and so forth.
Arkansas.
And what about Texas?
Definitely less sure about Texas, where you have... Because nothing about tonight takes anything away from how well Bernie did among Hispanics in Nevada. And so Texas, you have a mix of everything, and like that's a really interesting state. To me, the question, if you project forward, is like, what's going on in these big Midwestern industrial states, which are often important in elections? What's going on in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Illinois and Ohio? Those seem like fairly even contests, right? How huge will the margins that Bernie racks up be in California? Can Biden at least stay above 15% there, which he hasn't been actually in some of these polls, right? So yeah, if you project everything forward, like, you know, I mean, Bernie might win every state basically west of the Mississippi, and like that's a lot of delegates, and he might win something by big margins. So it's like, it's not like, you know, it's a pretty even map potentially. You know, I keep going back to the fact that like in head-to-head polls recently, even during kind of Biden's slump, the polls showed a pretty close matchup between Sanders and Biden. You know, we can kind of plug everything into our formulas. Also, by the way, you know, let's say that like it does become head to head after Super Tuesday, you still probably have more moderates in the field than progressives. Although I guess Warren is almost taking an equal share from Bernie now, that, or maybe not with both Buttigieg and Bloomberg, but it projects to be pretty close, I think, actually.
Yeah, and just to echo that and harp a little bit more about Texas. I mean, Texas could sort. I wonder if Texas will end up being kind of the narrative decider on Super Tuesday. You know, going into tonight, our polling average had Sanders at 27% in Texas, Biden at 22%, and Bloomberg at 19%, Warren at 13%, Buttigieg at 8%. So, like, it's a close race there before South Carolina, right? And that's with Bloomberg getting 19% of the vote. So I don't know. I wonder, you know, Texas is super interesting, speaks to how close a Sanders versus Biden race could be, to Nate's point. And I think could go a long way towards deciding how Super Tuesday is interpreted.
I just wanted to endorse, though, before we do wrap up, Micah's endorsement of Texas as being a really important state. Because, you know, Sanders was ahead in the polling average, but our forecast actually had it almost 50-50 because it was counting on this bounce in South Carolina. So that is kind of like the litmus test for how big is this bounce. But, like, I mean, the one concluding thought I have is, like, there is an argument that goes along the lines of, hey, it's only 3 days, it's happening on a Saturday, the media narrative is dominated by coronavirus, and therefore I won't get that much press coverage, which I partly agree with. But the thing is, like, clearly now that Biden is the most viable candidate in the moderate lane, right? Like, clearly. He might not be more viable than Bernie. I think it'd still take Bernie at this point to win the nomination between the two of them, right? But, like, but there's not really much of a debate if you win South Carolina by 29 points, right? You know, so I mean, that would might predict a bigger bounce potentially. But we'll see.
All right. Well, we're going to have a full preview of Super Tuesday on Monday. So we're going to wrap things up for tonight. But thank you, Nate.
Thank you, Galen.
Thank you, Micah.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I'll also mention that speaking of Super Tuesday and Texas, we're going to be live blogging all night. And actually, Nate is going to be up in the fancy studio upstairs from us covering Super Tuesday for ABC News and ABC News Live. So make sure to tune in to ABC and ABC News Live that evening, in addition to following our live blog, of course. Nate, are you excited?
I don't know if I'd describe my mood as excited. These things are a lot of work. You worry about your forecast. You worry about your models breaking. You worry about like all the shit you have to do. I don't really get excited. No.
I get anxious.
But I think about coronavirus, it makes me more anxious. How about that?
Nate is obsessed with the coronavirus. There was a rehearsal for the Super Tuesday coverage on Friday, and Nate was traveling. So they needed someone to talk about our forecast and kind of pretend to be Nate. So I got to do that for about 30 minutes. And I got to say, Nate, like, I am a pretty freaking good Nate.
Go ahead.
You know? I might get an agent and start competing with you for Nate Silver, you know, appearances.
All right. Well, with that, my name is Galen Druk. If you're looking for more South Carolina coverage, go check out our YouTube channel. We have a lot of interviews with voters down in South Carolina. That Jim Clyburn interview that was a podcast earlier this week is also a video there. And we're always making new videos covering the primary. So go check us out at 538 on YouTube. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.